Isn't that wonderful music? I love it. It's hard for me to tune it down, and it's hard for me to talk over it because I really love this song. This is a new song by our official band, Newborn, and it's called Gravity. And if you want to hear more, I'm actually going to play the entire song for you at the end of this broadcast. You can really appreciate the beauty of it. Really pulled me in. I don't know what he does to you, but he definitely pulled me in. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tippy Talk. It is time now to sit back and relax and listen and enjoy the moment. The official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk is Newborn. If you've not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. If you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sounds. It's time to step into the tippy zone where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is to go from where you are to where you want to be. This is centered around a weekend that I attended in Oregon with which I call the Conversation with God weekend. And I had a great time. And me personally, I love to talk about God or the universe or my higher self. When I have those kind of conversations, I call them truthing, which really means conversations designed to find out the truth, in quotes. So this was specifically a weekend with the author of a bunch of books called Conversation with God. That's why I call it the Conversation with God weekend. And his name is Neil Donald Walsh. He organized it and he ran it. And today I'm going to talk about the weekend, how I felt, what I liked about it, what I loved about it, and what I didn't like so much about it. But much more exciting than that, I have Nora joining me, who also attended one of these Conversation with God events, not the one I went to, but it was a similar kind of weekend. And so I'm really happy that Nora is joining me, because one of the great things about weekends like that is that it attracts an amazing crowd. And of course, I think they're amazing because they think like I do a lot. So I'd like to welcome you, Nora, to Tippy Talk. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited that you're here because you know so much more about it than I do.
Well, thanks, Tippy. I'm really excited to talk about it too. I had a great time on this retreat when I went, and I agree. You meet a lot of interesting people there with a lot of ideas, and I just thought it was a really fulfilling experience and a nice way to spend a holiday weekend.
Yeah, is the music distracting you a little bit? Should I shut it off? Because I kind of left it on in the background because it's hard for me to shut it off. Can you hear me over the music?
I just hear a little bit of static. That's what I'm hearing a little bit.
Yeah, so let me shut it off. Okay. And you're going to have to wait until the end of the broadcast to hear the whole song, which I'm definitely going to play. So there is a little bit
it's
of
a great
a
song.
It is, isn't it? It just totally pulls
I
you
love
in.
It.
I'm so glad you like it too, because I start listening to it and then I want to shut it off and I can't because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, no, so, I love it. I noticed it from the first blog of yours that I listened to. So they're great.
So you've heard it before. That's great. So there's a little bit of a difference between both of us is that when I went for the weekend with Neil Donald Walsh, I hadn't read any of his books at all. And then I went for the weekend, and then I read his books after the weekend. And you did the opposite. You had read his books before, and then you went. And then, so maybe your perspective was a little bit differently. So after you read the books, is that what made you want to go?
Oh, yeah. To be, I've been reading his books since at least 20 years. And
wow.
I picked up the first book. It was a summer weekend, and I didn't have a ton to do that weekend. So I just started reading this book, and I couldn't put it down. I just felt like it was speaking to me. And I had always been interested in religion my whole life. But this spoke to me differently. This was more of like a philosophy than a religion. And I really liked that. And it challenged ideas. And I was just fascinated with it. So I remember I couldn't put the book down and I finished it over a weekend. And then there was a trilogy at that time. And I read all three. And I remember I liked the first one the best. And I think I mm-hmm. still do. Except I love What God Wants, which is a much later book. But then he just kept writing books about topics that come up in the trilogy, the three books. So I've just been reading them for all of these years. From time to time when I see a new one out in the bookstore, I pick it up. And they've just really helped like guide me in life, I think. I never really thought about going to a retreat until a couple of years ago. I went to the holiday retreat because I guess once I started reading the mail online and you know, subscribing online to the Conversations with God, I found out there were a lot more things available. And then I just decided I'm going to go to this retreat. So I did, and I had a great time. It was an intense weekend. It was very serious, just sitting and talking about important topics and listening to others share.
I love
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
I love
and
are you generally
not for everyone, but I loved it.
Yeah, are you generally a religious person? Because you say you love talking about religion.
You know, I've always been kind of the person who challenges religion, but I've always wanted to talk about it. You know, just with my upbringing, growing up, and everything. You know, I was raised Catholic, but never really, I don't know, I guess it just didn't speak to me like these books do, because the way that Neil talks about things, he's really makes it very clear that these are his beliefs and that other people have other beliefs and that he believes that his are true, but they may not be true for somebody else. And it just kind of opened the door for me to explore what I think my truths are. And I found that refreshing. Yeah. And the funny thing is that, you know, he's close to home for me too, because he was raised Catholic. So I can understand a lot of the things that he says kind of mirror what I was raised with, but it's a different spin. It's a little bit more open. God is less punitive. All the things that I had trouble with, he just makes it easier for me to respond to it, I guess.
So, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I think not just for Catholic. I think from no matter what background you come from, you might if that talks to you, you're going to relate to it. So for people that don't know what Conversation with God is, and for me, I actually had his book in my house for 3 years, the book, the first book, The Conversation with God. But I never sat down and I never opened it and I never read it. I kind of looked at it once in a while. So when I heard about this weekend that he was having and I was going to be in the neighborhood, I figured, you know what, that's a great opportunity. And I went. So what I did for people that really don't have any clue what the book is about, I randomly opened the first book that I'm holding in my hand before the show, right before the show. And I said, I'm going to open it to one page and I'm going to get one idea from it. And it will just give you an idea of the kind of things that he says, even though there is so much, there's no way me and you are going to talk about it. But so I opened it up and this is what it says. It's not a question of learning, but of remembering. And that to me speaks a lot because when somebody says something to me, I a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I feel like, oh yeah, I know that. You know, like, why didn't I think of it? And then he says, how can I how can I remember then? And this is also really talks to me. And the answer is, begin by being still. Quiet the outer world so that the inner world might bring you sight, which is insight, which makes a lot of sense. This is what we're looking for. Yet you cannot have it while you're so deeply concerned with your outer reality. Because when you're not going within, then come from within as you deal with the outside world. And then he says, remember this axiom, if you don't go within, you go without. So that's like one of the things that being still to me has been a challenge for a long time to be able to shut my brain off and just be still. Have you had that same thing?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, it's so funny because sometimes I open a book just for inspiration on a page two. I do that frequently. So I find it so funny that you say that. Because, yeah, it's like, and you know, what you said about, and first of all, I wanted to correct something I said before, is that's part of what I love about the books is that they are for everyone from any religion. So I'm just responding to it based on what I've heard and because of my background, but you're right. And what he says is, you know, remember. And what when he asks us to just remember, I think it really is a statement that, you know, everybody knows what's right for them. I mean, because it's true. There's no way I could know what's right for somebody else. They know what's right for them, and I know what's right for me, you know, and we all have it within us. So he kind of like evens the playing field. Like everybody has the knowledge that they need for connecting with God. In however they
right.
see that. And I love that
right.
because it's true. We all connect differently and there's a million different ways. I think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you didn't. You definitely didn't say that. You just said that the fact that you both have a Catholic background, it does make you, it does connect you with him a little bit on a different level, because when you don't have a Catholic upbringing, then there's a few things that you might say or that he might say that I may not really get because I don't know where it comes from. It's a specific programming. Like if I say something about my Jewish upbringing and you've had the same upbringing, you can get it on that level that you understand it. Otherwise, you might ask me, okay, what does that mean? And then you might understand it too. But the fact that you both had the same background and his mind, your programming, whatever it is that you learn to begin with, definitely is the connecting to everything you learn afterwards. Because you go back and you say, okay, yeah, I remember that and I didn't like that. And you compare everything to what you already know.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't make sense. So it totally doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So the things that we loved about it, and there are things that I really didn't like, not a lot of things, but I loved one of the things that he opened up with, and he said that I'm not here to teach and you're going to sit and listen. You know, this is going to be an interactive thing. And I love that because a lot of people walk in as if I'm the authority here and you're going to listen to me. And I'm going to say that. And that automatically put me at ease. And I felt like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, he's not up on a pedestal. He doesn't put himself on a pedestal. And one of the reasons I really didn't read the book before I went is because I didn't want to go there and put him on a pedestal. I wanted to be open to just learning what there was to learn. So I really like that. Is there one specific thing that you can think of that you really like?
Yeah. I really like how he talks about what God wants, because I think we're all curious about, you know, what does God want? If there's really a God, you know, who doesn't speak to us, How do we get messages from God? And I love how he says that God does to all of us, and maybe God speaks to us by opening the book and being inspired by a passage or the text that we get, you know, from the conversation with God, the messages every day. I just love the idea that, you know, if God wanted something, God would get it. So we're here to live our lives. We have free will, you know, and yet we know what's right for us. We know what's not right for us. We sometimes do what's right for us. We sometimes do what's not right for us. You know, we're human and we live. And that at the end of the day, you know, it's all okay that, you know, we're just people here, and that God wants us to do the best that we can here, but that we have the freedom to do what we want to do. And I find that interesting, that if God wanted something, God would ask. And I believe that. There's too many rules about God and too many things that people claim they're definitely sure about God. And that's kind of like, you know, that's hard for me to listen to. I prefer to interpret based on my inner feelings and what I know and what I remember.
When I look at religion, it always made me feel really weird and uncomfortable that religious people think that God is some kind of an egomaniac that needs them to pray and tell him all day long how great he is, and that if you don't tell God how great he is, that somehow God is going to get offended. To me, that always felt like, why would God need you to say, bless you, bless you, bless you all day? I mean, God, for God's sake, he can do anything he wants.
Exactly. That would get me angry.
Yeah,
like,
so,
why don't you just say what you want?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, why does it have to be so hard, you know? But, you know, it's just a way of thinking about living life as the best, the highest self that you can possibly be. And that's like the greatest challenge that anybody can take on, is to live the highest self that you can be. That's the easiest thing in the world to do and the hardest thing in the world to do at the same time, I think, in the modern world.
It is, because we always have this fear factor that comes in to be afraid to live the best life that we can. Am I doing the right thing? Is it too much? Is it too stressful?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be the best? Or I have to be perfect, and all those things that come in. So that's definitely
uh-huh.
one of the things that I really liked. Another thing that I really liked, and I hate political correctness, so I love the fact that he wasn't afraid to use the term God. And because everywhere I go, it's like, well, you know, we call it God, or we call it the universe, and you can call it this, because God forbid somebody may get offended that they use the term God without saying, well, you can call it something else too, which you can.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can use any terminology
yeah.
you want. You can call them Allah. It doesn't matter. At the end of the
uh-huh.
day, you're still talking about the same thing. But the fact that he's not afraid to use it, and he does it unapologetically. I had a conversation with God, end of story. You know, he's not saying, well,
yep.
where is God or is the universe? So I love that, because political
yep.
correctness.
And then he even
me.
Says, but if you don't believe that, you know, maybe you don't
yeah.
believe that. But then just take, are the messages good? Just read what I wrote. And if you think that there's wisdom in the messages, then does it really matter if God said it or not? And so, no, it doesn't.
Right.
You know,
because, right. yeah,
you know, we're
the,
here
yeah.
and we'll find out what happens later when we pass. So for now, we have to manage as humans with what's comfortable for us, you know. And for me, the way that he speaks about God is very comfortable for me. I'm comfortable talking about it with others, and it just resonates with me. So I've been reading his books for quite a while, and they've been very, very helpful in different stages of my life. And when
yeah.
I went to the
and
retreat,
the
I heard
They're
the
help.
Same thing from other people as well, you know, so he's really
mm-hmm.
touching a lot of lives, and he really has a gift for that.
He's touching a lot of lives, and he's getting through to people with using the name God that would never listen to any other message that uses God and in a religious format. And so
uh-huh.
the books that I read was the original, An Uncommon Dialogue, Conversation with God. And believe it or not, the other book that I read was called Conversation with God for Teens, for Teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two books I read. Not that I'm a teenager or that I have any teenager. I just thought it would be interesting to see how he relates to teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a lot of books to read if I want to read about what he's really about, which I may.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you what I didn't like about the weekend that I went. I don't know if he did it for you, but when he finishes an idea or when he talks about something, at the end of it, he goes, well, everything I say may not be even true. And that's like double talk. And I don't like double talk. Like, okay, I'm telling you that God said blah, blah, blah. But maybe, you know, maybe that everything I said was not true. That drove me up a wall. Did he do that for you too?
It doesn't. No, yeah. That part doesn't bother me because I think that one of the interesting concepts in his work is that there are no absolute truths. What might be true for me may not be true for you. Like, I might think it's cold outside, but you might not. You know what I mean? So I take it a little differently. I like that exit if I need to. If it's too, like, if I find that the territory is a little bit hard for me to swallow, I think that it's a, you know, that part just isn't resonating. It's not a truth for me. You know what
not
I mean?
For you.
I don't expect
right.
to.
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't. You know, I don't expect to agree with everything that he says and all of that. And I like the fact that I take bits and pieces for me, you know, and leave the rest,
mm-hmm.
which some religions are uncomfortable with, you know. Yeah.
All
so I'm
religions
comfortable
are
with that.
Uncomfortable
but I know, with. But it does kind of like, it. You know, I would just love somebody to just rescue me with all the answers, you know, have all the answers and this is exactly
yeah.
how life is going to
yeah.
go. And like, it's
right.
never going to happen, you know, and I like that,
mm-hmm.
although I'd rather that I was definitely sure that he had a conversation with God, that'd be even better, but I'm just not, you know, I'm not totally
it
sure.
Doesn't
I mean,
matter.
I think
yeah.
if I have to guess, I think I'm going to, I feel like something when he talks to me. So I think there's something there to it, but you
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, maybe not.
Well, that all depends on how you define God. To me, God is everywhere at all times. So that's what I was brought up with, and that's what I always knew. And that's why it doesn't make sense to me. If you tell me that God is everywhere at all times, so God is not a person. So it's different than for people who were brought up thinking that God is this person named Jesus and he sits there and pulls the strings for everybody's life. If you believe, like I had a neighbor who told me, if you get to the gates of heaven and they tell you, will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And you say, no, you won't be allowed into heaven. And I said, well, I guess I'm not going to heaven then. So and she got very upset that I said that. But to me, God is not a person. It's never been. And so...
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's that I can have a conversation with God, if God is everywhere at all times, then he's always watching me. He's always with me. He's me. If he's everything,
uh-huh.
then I'm also part
Could
of
be?
Everything. Then God is also me. Yeah. Are you
yeah,
there?
Yeah. So for me, I was raised that God is the big man in the sky. And
right.
if you lead a good
right.
life, you go to heaven. If you lead a bad life,
right.
you go to hell.
Kind of like
and,
a Santa Claus,
so this,
right? Kind of like a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
If you're good,
uh-huh,
you get your
you're either going to get your toys or you're not. Yeah. And
right.
So this idea that I was reading was just, I had thought of it before, but not so descriptive and not like an energy, you know. And I certainly
mm-hmm.
never thought that I could possibly be a part of God. But if you think about the essence of our souls, we're all connected if we think about it that way.
Exactly.
And I love that concept. Yeah, so
exactly.
So then that eliminated the need to have to go to church every Sunday, you know, like a lot of the things that
exactly.
if you want to be close to God, you have to go to the altar. No,
church,
you know what?
Right.
You can connect with God anywhere and you could be talking to someone next to you and you're both connecting and you're both a part of the big ocean, you know, like a drop in the ocean kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
mm-hmm.
new for me or to like acknowledge and I thought, it was just so, so great to think of it that way, you know, and even
mm-hmm.
like
it is.
Anytime I'm having like mm-hmm. a conflict or anything, I always try to think of it that way, that like ultimately what's good for me is good for you and what's good for you is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not good for you, it's not good for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
if it's
I'm
not, if it's not good for
everyone,
you,
I think
then it's not good. Right.
Right, and if we thought like that more often, I think we'd have a lot less problems on the planet, you know. So
yeah.
So there's just like a lot of things just make sense, and you know, it's just what he says just sounds, it just rings a bell for me.
I do believe that as a humanity, as a planet, we are heading in that direction. We're heading in the direction of people becoming aware and awake and realizing that we're all connected. I mean, just because the toe doesn't see the nose doesn't mean they're not part of one body. And so if I do something to hurt you, I'm really hurting myself, because we are connected on a very real, very, very real level, because we are all one. And as soon as there's this awakening where everybody on this planet understands that and doesn't point fingers or doesn't want to destroy anybody else, then and I think he even says it somewhere in one of his books that we are heading in that direction, that ultimately that's what's going to happen. Everybody's going to wake up and realize that. And then we'll actually be able to live in a utopia, because until that happens, we can't wake up as a humanity. So his mission and my mission and your mission, if you understand this, is basically to wake up as many people as you can by just being yourself, by just being the best that you can be, like you said. Anybody you come in touch with.
Yeah, leading by example.
Right. Anybody, you have such a wonderful light around you. You have this refreshing energy that when people come near you, they automatically feel that. Now, if they don't resonate with it, it's going to make them feel bad. And if they do resonate with it, they're going to feel drawn and they're going to want part of that light. So by being yourself.
So. I try to have that light, you know, because I think.
But you do.
You know,
I'm telling you, you do.
Well, thank you. You know, I felt the same way. I felt the same way about you. And I feel like, you know, I also believe that it's a personal choice to have that. That's a choice to allow that in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Choice to acknowledge it and be aware of it within yourself. And then, you know, then that you can project it if someone else is open to it, you know. And I think that, I think the idea is to just, and it's like just trying to realize who you are. And, you know, and right. When you think about life that way, it's just different from just doing the regular things in life. You do them differently. So, and I try to do that, you know, and I try to do that as much as I can, you know.
Yeah, we are definitely
I'm still human.
The same way, there's no question. we're all human.
Yeah, and I do think. Yeah, and the interesting thing is that, he wrote a book called The Calm Before the Storm, and what he says right now is the turmoil that we have on the planet is really the storm before the calm. So that's, he said that we're experiencing, because whenever you want to experience something like you mentioned a utopia, if we could all get to a certain mindset, once you fixate on that and you're thinking about that, what Neil says is that every other thing is going to come into your life to show you what is not. So, like,
that's the storm.
So the storm is coming before the calm. So what I think we're doing in humanity is trying to tackle all of these problems which seem insurmountable, but they're really not if we think about them on a spiritual level, according to Neil. And and so it really is going to have to take a shift in the way that we look at things and in our consciousness and things like that to take care of all these problems, because they're spiritual problems. And he's been saying this for a long time in his books. So I'm hoping that, you know, this storm is almost over and we can start to see a real shift. And I really think it's really starting. I mean, we hear so much about people trying to help others. Just when you look at your Facebook profiles, there's so much information about, you know, and I know
people
that
want
to
be
careful of. Oh, yes. Even to animals and to their fellow neighbor and awareness of women's rights, of racial equality, things like that. And so I think, you know, the internet is a great tool for that. A lot of people say the internet brings on a lot of problems. I think it brings on the more information you can get. The better you are, and the more you learn, the quicker you learn, and I think that's going to help with this whole shift.
Yeah, so
that I hope happens.
You said a lot of things now that I can actually go off on a tangent of hours, but you did say the internet. The internet basically is a tool, and it could be used for positive, it could be used to destroy, it could be used to create, like anything else. The internet in itself is not a problem or a solution. It's just how we use
right.
it. And you want to hear something interesting that just happened, because you just were talking about people that are out there helping, and you actually used the word shift twice. And as you were mm-hmm. using the word shift, I was looking at my keyboard, and the specific keyboard that I was looking at said shift. And then you said it. It was almost like you were reading my mind. It was so weird. Very, very weird.
Oh, my God. We've had a few of those. Oh, my God.
But,
yeah.
But I definitely think that we are heading in the right direction. There's no question about that. And I don't want to mm-hmm. be negative, but I do want to tell you the things that I didn't like about the weekend, because it's not a lot of things. There's just a few things.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things was his personality is not the best personality in the world. Okay, I don't want to dwell on that. It didn't resonate with me. It doesn't mean that he has a bad personality. It just didn't resonate with me so much.
You know what I feel like? I get my feelings are like hurt because I don't think he really likes me that much.
He definitely doesn't like me, but I don't know if it's my feelings. You think maybe that's what it is, that my feelings are hurt because I don't think he likes me? Because that's what I feel.
Well, no, mine was, you know.
So, yeah, me too.
I don't
okay,
know
so
how.
You know what? You spelled it out for me. When I say I didn't like his personality, you're right. It's my own stupid feelings. Saying, you know what? He doesn't like me, so I don't like him either, you know? Yeah.
I just felt like he when I was on the retreat, he connected with maybe 3 or 4 people in the retreat. Mm. And I connected with him like I do in the books. I mean, I connect with him
to.
In the books. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I know him. And then I got there and I felt like I didn't know him. And I felt like I didn't have a ton of questions to ask either, you know, and I didn't mm-hmm. come with any specific problem or anything like that where he could really help me with something either. So that could attribute to part of it, you know, but I did want to like get to know him a little bit better, and I didn't. So I was a little disappointed
okay,
about that.
So you totally verbalized what I meant when I say I didn't like his personality. So I don't really think that I didn't like his personality, because honestly, I didn't really get to know his personality. It's hard to get to know somebody's mm-hmm. personality when they're sitting in front of a room and everybody's sitting there like he's leading the whole discussion. So it's hard to get a personality. So what I think exactly, I think my feelings were hurt because he didn't like me. At least that's what I felt. So it definitely could be me. Could be me just having
yeah,
that feeling
feel
about
like,
myself.
Yeah, and I think he does try to avoid people because there's a lot of people there, and I don't think that he wants to get into heavy conversations with any one person in particular. Maybe.
Oh, for sure he doesn't want to because he even. Yeah, for sure he doesn't want to because he even told us don't approach me when we're not in this set in this thing. So he definitely doesn't want to get into personal. I think if he does get into personal relationships, it's going to be too much drama.
I don't mean a personal relationship. I just mean like a 3-minute conversation or something. You know, I just felt mm-hmm. like it was all off limits. So I, mm-hmm. but not for some. So I don't
but
know.
But not for those few that you felt that he liked more than he liked you. Yeah. So that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt the same way. So I guess, yeah, we are definitely surfing on the same wave. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but
so
I'll
then
top it
another
up.
One.
I'm still gonna read the books.
Oh yeah, I will not X out things that I like that he says, even if I don't like everything he says, and I'm never gonna like everything anybody says just because of a few little things that I don't like. So I throw those things out and I take whatever I do like. And then also,
uh-huh.
I don't know. Have you read the book Conversation for Teens? Because I don't think any
yes,
adults. Would
yes,
really
I guess. Did. I read it years ago. Yes,
you did. So I'll tell
yeah.
you what I did not like about it. I did not like about it that he tells teenagers that it's okay to just go and have sex. And I used to think that way. I used to think that it was okay just to go have sex because I used to think that sex is just sex. But with the experience that I have now, I don't think that that's true at all. I think sex is so powerful and it's so intimate and it's so important that telling a teenager to just go have sex is really telling him to go play with fire, and I don't think it serves them. Having
I
had
agree.
To, teenage girls and you being around teenagers, you know what I mean, right?
I absolutely know what you mean. And I'm much more conservative with how I would approach talking to teens about sex, about drinking, anything. You know, I think that, you know, as adults, I think that structure is important, and I don't think it's healthy for teens to engage in adult activities when they're too young. So I think as adults, it's our job to help protect them and to help without, you know, being a dictator to say, you know, I would prefer you not do that. You know what I mean? I just think that's appropriate. But that's
for your own good. Yeah, for your own good.
Yeah,
Having sex is okay. If you want to, I'm very conservative now, like you too, but I wasn't. I was not a conservative at all. I was a very liberal teenager, and I was a very liberal college student. And as far as I was concerned, sex, drugs, and rock and roll was it. You know, if it feels good, you do it. And I did. Mm-hmm. So I know the consequences. And I know that emotionally, a teenager is not ready, especially girls. I don't know about boys because I've never been a boy. But for girls, being the host in the sex, in a sexual interlude, you're the host. You're allowing something inside your inner being that is such a deep emotional thing that if it isn't done within a framework of love and acceptance for a girl, I think it could be debilitating, could definitely be devastating. So how you, and I'm not saying that sex is a bad thing. It's not. It's one of the greatest things that we have. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for sex. But approaching it carefully with all the pain that I've been through because I bought into this liberal agenda, I wouldn't want my teenager to go through it. And, of course, my teenagers ignored me and went through it anyway, but they survived it. But it was painful.
I agree. I think that I don't – as an adult, I don't want to be the one giving permission for kids to grow up too early, you know, because I honestly don't think it's good. And I think it's good for them to wait to get maturity, to think about who they are, discover their values, discover who they are, what they want, you know, and just and work on discovering themselves first and then going off into adulthood, I think. Is the best way.
Right.
So yeah, it was a little, it was too liberal for me. Absolutely. You know, before someone, I wouldn't want to, I just don't, you know, you need to be responsible. If you have total freedom, you need to know what the consequences are going to be and decide how you're going to be responsible to lessen any negative consequence, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But also I have a 19-year-old niece that got married. And they were both virgins. And obviously they had sex after they got married. And the way the confidence and the security that she had of him being there, it was just so beautiful to watch that she didn't have to worry, is he going to call me tomorrow? Is he going to be there tomorrow? Is he going to break up with me? It was all very secure within a marriage, which I don't really necessarily say you have to get married to have sex, but if you're not in a really loving relationship the first time you have sex, you're going to get hurt. There's no question about it because you don't know what's going to happen. And waking up the morning after having sex for the first time and not knowing for sure that that person cares about you and loves you for a teenager, it's either going to make them really unable to trust or whatever other problems we're going to have. But then, you know, okay, so that's one thing I may not agree with him. Like you said, you don't have to agree with everything he says. And it doesn't mean I'm going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I'm not going to throw out everything he teaches because he has a lot of really powerful, really strong, really important information. I just really, the reason I even mentioned it and the reason I'm mentioning the things that I didn't like is because I don't want people to take ever anyone that they like and everything they say as the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because that person is not God. And nobody should be treated without really saying, well, you know what, that I may not agree with, even though I may agree with 99.9% of what he says, there's always going to be that percentage that I don't resonate with. And it's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel the same way. And I had the same response to the book as you. And it's just,
funny.
You know, I mean, you know, I think, I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess he has like a really good outlook on humanity and it may
mm-hmm.
not be as trusting. You know,
yeah, but
because,
he's just not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you know, we have to teach young people to protect themselves. And you know, because it is a scary world. It's an uncertain world and things like that. And one thing that we can bring to young people is stability, and give
mm-hmm.
them structure and things like that. And I think that's really important, especially today.
Yeah. At any
you know, because
we do
create our own stability and our own structure, you know, a lot of the time. So I think that's important to teach.
Yeah, but especially for us as teenagers and as young adults, it really sets the tone for a long time of how we're going to live our life. It's not like we have our teens and then it's over and then we go into adulthood. It kind of meshes in. And then based on what we go through as teenagers, we make a lot of decisions in the 20s and in our 30s, unless you really work on yourself, that are really connected to the experiences that we go through. So why not give
mm-hmm.
kids the best experience that you can? And telling a kid to have sex is not the best experience you can give them.
Right. And, you know, the best thing you can do is encourage them to improve themselves, to work hard, to have good, meaningful friendships, not friendships where you're, you know, getting into trouble and things like that. That's not positive, you know. So the best thing, you know, in terms of parenting, you know, and I'm no authority on that, but is leading by example, you know. So as people, as adults, you know, we should lead by example, and our young people, you know, will hopefully learn that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could tell a child anything you want, but then if you act differently, they, you know, do as I say, don't do as I do, it just doesn't work with kids. It doesn't work with anyone.
Exactly.
Anybody can see right through it. Well, you know what? You should do this and this. Well, you're not doing it. No, I think you're right.
Yep.
I heard a 12-year-old the other day tell his mother, no, I think you're a hypocrite. 12 years old. And thank God that mother was open enough to say, okay, why? And he pointed out why he thought she was a hypocrite, and they actually had a conversation with it. But I thought it was so profound that a 12-year-old can look, and he obviously just learned what hypocrite means, look at his mother
mm-hmm.
and say, you're a hypocrite about this. And she was able to explain it to him so that he doesn't see her as a hypocrite or why that was the case, which is really a great experience for a child. But
it's so important to have good communication. I mean, good communication is key. And, you know, Neil is a great communicator and he really knows
mm-hmm.
how to explain his ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen and, you know, he's so clear to me also. I really appreciated that at the retreat.
Because you resonate with it. So it makes sense to you. Like to me, too,
mm-hmm.
most of the stuff that he says, not only do I resonate with it, it's part of me, and it's exactly remembering. It's not newsflash, I've never heard this before. It's more like, oh, yeah,
uh-huh.
true, that makes sense. It makes sense. It's like puts things that have already been tumbling around inside of me into perspective and kind of brings it out in front of me and makes it clear. But at the end
mm-hmm.
of the day, I really do have to go inside myself if I want to get answers, because and one of the things I found out, and for a long time, I think my entire 30s, I ran around looking for answers everywhere else except for within me. And at the end
mm-hmm.
of it, I found a lot of beautiful answers, but they didn't make any difference in my life because I didn't have the insight. I was looking at it from the outside. So ultimately, no matter what you learn, no matter who you learn it from, if you don't take it from inside yourself and really ask yourself the questions and get yourself the answers, it is not going to really change anything in your life. So you really do
Absolutely.
Have to do the work. You really do.
Yeah. And
but,
one of the best things that he has mentioned in the books, and I think this even goes back to book one, you could tell me, is that one of the greatest ways to find clarity within yourself, like let's say you have an issue, you just say, thank you in advance, God, for giving me the resolution to this problem. And it's like acknowledging to the universe that the problem has already resolved itself and that the outcome is going to be exactly what should be happening. And that it may even seem negative at the moment, but down the road it might actually be positive and you might be able to look back and reflect. So it helps me to not worry about making decisions and trusting my gut and things like that, which I find a relief, you know, because it's really hard to say go with your gut, you know, that's so hard. But if I think about it that way, that, and he even said, like, if you're having a surgery or something like that and you're worried about the physician or something like that, he wrote a whole article on this, that you should just go with what feels right and just know that the outcome is exactly what's happening in your life plan and it's going to be okay and you're doing the best that you can. And, like, so that just puts relief on me in so many different ways, because we are dependent on others and we do make choices, and it's easy to say, oh, maybe I should have done that, or, but if you just but just the, you know, thank you for giving me clarity and just going with your feeling and that's it has helped. And you know what? Generally, it's always the right thing too for me, I've noticed.
It is. It absolutely is. And yes, it is in the first book. And gratitude is really a really powerful thing. And the reason that resonates so much with me even more is, again, the way I was brought up and the teachings that I was taught. And so in the Jewish religion, for the religious part of the Jewish, which is a very small minority, one of the things they do every morning, the first thing you have to do, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, thank you, God, for giving me another day. I'm really grateful for it, you know, and I'm grateful in advance for giving me a wonderful day and giving my soul back to my body for one more day, something to that effect. And so when you start off your day with gratitude, and ever since, like, the first words that I ever learned, I was 2 years old, and my mother sits down every day. I open my eyes and she goes, thank you, God, for giving me this day. And so it's definitely, when somebody says being grateful in advance, it automatically resonates with me, obviously, because I've been doing it since the day I learned how to talk.
So you're setting yourself up for a great day when you do that.
Yes.
And, like, even, like, he says, okay, you can't control the circumstances in your life, which is true, but you can you can control the way you wish to experience them. And that's so powerful because that's so true, you know. You can choose how you're going to react to that, or how you're going to respond to it, or how you even choose to feel about it, which sounds crazy, but to a certain extent, if you work at it, you can control the way that you feel about something and take a perspective that's comfortable, you know. And you know, I mean, there are things that could happen that are just devastating, and I understand that. I don't want to minimize problems, you know. But for the regular things in life, it's very true. I can choose to experience them many different ways. And I like that because it gives a lot of options, you know. And you know, hopefully most of the time I choose the best way for me to experience me and the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I find is, and like you said, there are a lot of things that could be devastating. But what I found out is that the things that you think are the most devastating things in your life, really, when you look back, it ends up shaping you into the kind of person that you are. If your perspective isn't bitter and hateful towards it, if you accept it gratefully, then those things could be the best thing that ever happened to you too, no matter how devastating. Like for example, the second biggest devastating thing that I remember that happened to me was that we had to go into shelter because Egypt was throwing bombs at us, and I was in Jerusalem. It was devastating for a six-year-old to kind of wonder why somebody wants me dead and why they want to kill me and my family. But for a long time, I was terrified. But now when I look back at it, it was one of those things that made me so much stronger and so much less afraid of life and so much be able to handle so many things that most people couldn't even begin to handle
because I had to deal with something so powerful and so negative in such a young age. So it seems like it was a negative thing that happened to me, but on the other hand, it prepared me to be able to do so many things that I would be really scared to do if I didn't have that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so you really took that negative experience and really learned how to take that and turn it into a positive and to give you strength. And that's what he says, like some of our greatest suffering gives us our greatest strength and our greatest awareness of ourselves. And yeah, and I feel like I've been through things too myself and that I'm just that much stronger today. And I love that, you know. And
because of those things,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, some of the worst things that have happened to me have been the greatest things now, but
right.
not then. And it was a long road to get there. And but I guess he, yeah, but his idea is to embrace the suffering. And it's
right.
so true. It's like when you're going on a roller coaster, right? I remember I learned how to go on a roller coaster. So I was petrified of roller coasters. But then I learned I used to pull back. And that's the worst thing you could do when you're going down a fast roller coaster. But if you learn to go with it, you could actually enjoy the ride once you get over the fear of it. And I think, like, life is just like that. You have to go with it. And whatever the moment
right.
is. Oh, and he also says, like, if you're feeling something, don't worry about it. It's only a feeling, and it's not going to be forever. You're not going to feel that way forever and ever and ever. You're feeling that way in this moment. And if we don't know every feeling we have, gives us a greater appreciation for all of the other feelings. So it's just a great philosophy to help make life easier, you know, because we're all trying to do the same thing here. And, you know, it's, well, I mean, I think we're all trying to do the same thing here ultimately.
Yeah. At the end, we are trying to do the same thing. We might have different approaches of doing the same thing, but we all want to be happy. We all want to feel good. We all want to do the best that we can do for what we believe in. Our beliefs may be a little bit warped sometimes, especially if it includes hurting other people, but it's still our beliefs. So we still try to do the best within our belief system that we can. Everybody wants to be loved.
Yeah, and with what we have.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I believe that too. And I think that even things that are bad, people justify them and turn them into a good, so it's their way of thinking about it. You know, they just don't know.
Right.
They
you know, even people can dwell on the negative for 1,000 years. It's still their choice. It's still, they're really good dwellers in the negative, you know. They do their best to dwell on the negative as much as, they're still doing their best to be happy, but that's their way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
So
they
like
just,
you said,
they're doing the opposite.
No. But
yeah,
it's the best that they can do.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah. We all want to be loved, and we all want to be happy.
True. And accepted.
And
we all want to fulfill our. I think we all want to reach our potential, but that can be scary, you know. So, and what is our potential? We don't know, but it just keeps changing, and new things come into your life. And so I think it's just, the books are motivating for me to try new things and to experience life.
Yeah, so you're definitely a fan. There's no question about it. And he's definitely helped you and thousands of other people live a better life, get a better perspective in life. So I would say overall, it's definitely been a positive experience. It's definitely been an eye-opener on a lot of levels. And look, like you said, it helped you get through many things that it would have been a lot more difficult to get through if you didn't have those teachings. So they've been your friends for a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's how I feel about his work. Even when I went to Ashland, Oregon, there's just something magical about that town. And it was all lit up for the holidays. And I just felt, I don't know, just the beautiful evergreen trees and the skies. And it's kind of a hilly plain. And it,
so you're talking about Christmas?
No,
you were there for Christmas?
Yes, the holiday tree. Yes, and the snow. There was like a snowy mist every morning. And I just loved it.
That sounds like paradise.
It felt
winter
like
paradise.
And I'm like, really looking forward to book four. I've already put my purchase on Amazon. It's pre-ordered, but I was really happy to hear that he has a book four coming out. So I have a little bit of an idea of what it's about, but I don't want to talk about it until I read it. But that's definitely something that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be fun, and it would be something fun to read. So would you summarize your experience as something that you would want to go back to? Would you, if he has another retreat like that, or which I'm sure he will, would you want to go back into another one?
Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. I would.
So it's definitely been a positive experience for you.
Yeah, it was definitely a positive experience. It's intense, you know. I would definitely go back. I'm always open for a philosophical conversation about religion. I mean, who am I kidding?
yeah, me too. I love it. It's like what I live for. I love it because the more I learn about it, the better it helps me understand myself. So I definitely love those kind of conversations. So it's not just
Would you go back to another one?
Probably. I probably would. I probably would. I love that part of the world too. I love Oregon. And also, don't forget that my daughter is there now, so that for me, going there would be a great opportunity to see her. And she just had a baby, so of course I want to be there. Plus, if I'm already there, then I would want to go somewhere where there's an amazing crowd of people and an amazing conversations. And yeah, definitely. But I wouldn't stay in the hotel that I stayed. That place was crappy. So that's one thing I definitely
wouldn't
do.
Yeah, no.
I think he has it always in the same hotel. He has it in the same place. And if you were in the same place that I was, I wouldn't recommend you.
I was there, but I also drove around, and there's lots of charming places to stay there. It's not that far from Ashland, so I would do that as well. I would definitely do that again. So one of these holidays, I'm going to do it again, I think.
So the only question really is, when are we going to do it again, Nora?
I'll know when the time is right. It'll feel right, and I'll just sign up and go.
And we've reached the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. Thank you so much for listening to our feedback on the weekend that we enjoyed in Oregon with a conversation with God author Neil Donald Walsh. And now just sit back, relax, have a magical day, and enjoy the rest of the music that I promised you I was going to play the entire song from the band Newborn. And if you want to hear any more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy it. We have come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. It has been wonderful chatting with you, Nora, and been wonderful having you guys listen to us. Thank you for joining us. We bid you a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippy Felsenstein. Now what?